Hello everyone, welcome to today's podcast. At the last session, we looked at how to position our sales teams for more effectiveness and efficiency. Today, we will be looking at another critical element of great sales management. And this is an area which is actually one of my favorites as a sales leader. And I am speaking about sales forecasting. Sales forecasting is the ability to predict what will be sold over an established period of time. It could be a week, it could be daily, it could be a month, or it could be annually, depending on your type of business or the type of organization. And it's a very important element because it plays a major role in the success of any organization or any individual sales professional. And you would ask me why. The reason is because accurate sales forecasts actually allow you to make a lot of smarter business decisions and align your business on the path for success. Decisions around how you budget, how you hire, how you fire, how you engage, and how you project the organization over a period of time is largely determined by your sales forecast. And when you have it accurately done, it also allows you to spot problems very early and to deal with them. Take for example, you have, forecasted a certain quota for a period of a week, and you find that a certain number of your sales team members are actually falling behind. It makes you ask questions and try and find out exactly what is going wrong. Which of the levers, internal or external, do you need to pull in order to get your sales activities back on track? Now, speaking about levers, your sales forecasting could actually be forecasted, or rather impacted, by the following internal and external factors, which you really must bear in mind as a sales leader at any point in time. On the internal side, you have your hiring or your attrition rates. So if you had forecasted based on a certain number of sales personnel, if you lose any of that personnel, it impacts your sales forecast. And if you had projected to hire within a certain period, if you're not able to achieve that, that also impacts on your performance against your forecast. So it is very imperative that at every point in time, you align your internal factors with the way you make your forecast or you present your forecast. If also, as the sales leader, you make any changes or the organization decides to make some changes to the sales compensation or sales compensation model, that would also have an impact on your sales forecasting. Because, for example, again, assuming you want to, motivate the sales team to focus on a particular solution or territory or market or area or customer segment. Now, if you change your compensation model in such a way that it actually reflects that focus, it will also impact on what your sales forecast has been if all that has been forecasted is not entirely focused on that particular key performance area. So this is another area that impacts your sales forecasting. And again, if in the middle of the year you decide to make some territory changes or adjustments or amendments or, rearrange or restructure your sales team, that also would have an impact on the result of your sales forecasting. Now, externally, there are quite a number of factors that would also influence how your forecasting is done. And this includes, the economic environment, a certain subsegment of customers buying more, you may want to tilt your focus to that area. And now, if that wasn't planned for, it definitely would affect your forecast. Now, sometimes in the market, some changes happen. Competition launches a new product or pulls away a particular product or starts to refocus their energies in a particular direction. Now, if you had projected a particular quota for each and every one of your sales team members, you need to make sure that this is aligned with what is operational in the marketplace. And again, you sometimes have some industry or regulatory changes or policies that come into play that also impacts how you perform in the course of the year. Let's take a very, very globally known example. This year, we walked into the COVID situation, and this has had a huge impact on businesses. Quite a lot of businesses, especially the small businesses, have been shut down, and a whole lot others are struggling to stay alive. Now, this couldn't have been forecasted for. But if in the life of the pandemic, you still expect your sales team to provide the same quota that they were providing pre the COVID situation, that could be, you know, a misnomer and would present a challenge for you. So you always have to, you know, align your forecast situation with the extra external factors that are available out there. And now we also have a situation where you could have started out the year forecasting for a particular product in a certain manner, and you find out that along the line, there's been a change to that product, either globally, either, you know, market-wise, or within your organization, either due to a change in your procurement process or your supply chain or your manufacturing process or any of those factors. If there is a change, that also needs to be reflected in the way you are forecasting. Because if you are bringing on board a new product or service, you need to also allow for that lag time for your sales team to be able to go into the market, educate the customers about this new product, and start to get the requisite buy-in and acceptance for this new product. And of course, that would probably increase the sales cycle. Now, there are different methods for forecasting, and I do believe that the more we look, the more we would always find a reason to try out different methods. But I'm going to speak to three. One or two of them I feel very strongly about. And another is one that happens based on experience and understanding of your market, your industry, and your product. So the first one would be the opportunity staging forecast method. Now, I would like to refer to that by an acronym, which is the SPANCO, where S stands for suspect, P for prospect, A for agreement, N for negotiations, C for contracting, and O for order. Now, depending on the level you are or the salesperson is with a particular opportunity, there would be a percentage allocated to that opportunity. Say, for example, your salesperson is at the point of negotiating with a particular customer. You would then say that sales opportunity has a probability of 60% for closure. Now, but if that if the salesperson is at the contracting stage, that also presents an 80% opportunity for closure. Now, I find this to be very simple, very straightforward, and very easy to adopt if you are a small or medium enterprise and you don't have the capital abilities to actually invest in more sophisticated tools to drive your effective sales forecasting. We also have another method, which is known as the length of the sales cycle forecasting. In this instance, it's based on historic trend and experience. You have an understanding of how long it takes to drive a particular opportunity. You have over time gauged your sales team, and you've understood how long it takes them to close a particular opportunity. And this helps you define the length in time that would be required to close out on the opportunity. Now, that is a form of forecasting that some sales leaders also adopt. So say, for example, you know that typically it takes you about 6 months to close a sale ordinarily, go all the way from prospecting the customer to receiving an order. Now, if a sales person comes to you and says they are right in the middle, or they are at about 3 months into the sale, then you know it's at 50%. And this is just based on the length of time that you have determined your sales cycle to be. And then finally, I'm going to talk about the pipeline management style of forecasting. In this instance, it does take some time, you know, and maybe to some people or to some sales leaders, it really would take, it would be seen to be quite a bit of time expending. But the reason for this is because the pipeline method is very rich on data. It's based on empirical data, and it speaks to some variables within the organization, which is maybe the salesperson's win rate, the ability to effectively understand the value of that opportunity, the period in time it takes, the usual sales cycle to close deals of that nature, and in most cases, the acceptance or positivity also being exhibited by the customer. Now, in looking at these three methods, and I intend to go further into detail on the pipeline forecasting method in the next podcast, but for today, in looking at these three methods, we'll briefly touch on some of the advantages and disadvantages of some. Now, for the pipeline forecasting method, it's very, very data reliant. You have to have your data which will be fed effectively into the CRM tool that would help and guide in the decision-making process. And this is one of the reasons why a lot of sales leaders stay away from the pipeline management method, which is because of the requirement for an effective CRM tool. Now, it also takes into account unique factors of each opportunity. So I've talked about it already. It takes into consideration the particular salesperson, the salesperson's trend, regular win rate, opportunity value, in addition to other factors, such as probably the vertical from which the sale is being pulled, and the propensity for opportunities from that particular vertical to close out, and the average value of opportunities from such a vertical. Now, on the flip side, because it is so data reliant, it's so easy to be skewed, because remember, garbage in, garbage out. So it's what we feed into the system or the tool, the CRM tool, that would provide the eventual results that will be pulled out for decision making. And in most cases, it is seen to be expensive by some sales leaders and some organizations. Now for the length of sales cycle forecasting, one of the advantages is, you know, its calculations are very objective. It's based on trend. You can easily integrate your lead sources, you know, to better forecast those opportunities as they come. But on the other side as well, sometimes the calculations don't consider the type and size of the opportunities, and it only works with, you know, historically tracked data. So that also, in some instances, may present a bit of a problem. For the Spanko forecasting method, it's easy, you know, to establish. I mean, it's easy. It makes sense, and it's something that can be utilized by any organization, regardless of size. And of course, the calculations are objective. But again, it's garbage in, garbage out. So if you have inaccurate data, it's going to lead to inaccurate forecast. If your sales team member is not being truthful, then of course, he's going to keep feeding you with information that is not fit for purpose, and at the end of the day, you will be stuck with the wrong decisions. Now, how do we make sure that we set up the right sales forecasting for our business, or we provide the right sales forecast to guide our organizational leaders to make the smart decisions that will impact the bottom line positively? The first thing is to make sure that, as we spoke about last week or last time, you establish a sales process for your team. If the team is not consistently using the same steps or stages in a sales process, you will not be able to predict the outcome of your opportunities. So consistency is very, very important in dealing with your sales team. The next thing to look at is to make sure that you, at each point in time, set clearly defined and specific individual and team quotas. Your sales team and sales personnel should know at each point in time what their targets are, what is expected of them, and by when should it be delivered. And now, if you are an organization that is really intent on driving your business through effective sales forecasting, please, please, and please invest in a customer relationship management tool, in a CRM tool. They help to give your sales reps a database for tracking opportunities that will give you accurate close predictions. The accurate data will always allow you to have accurate forecasting. Now, you need to get, and when you have this tool, you need to get your sales team to understand how to use it. So they need to be trained on how to use the tool, and they need to understand the value that using the tool brings to them and also to you as an organization. And this should be one of the key performance indicators of your sales team, which is they should at every point in time be able to record all opportunities and track their opportunities through the CRM tool. Now, there are different types of CRM tools out there, very, very many of them. The choice is yours. You have like the HubSpot CRM, you have the Pipeliner CRM, you have an Oracle, the Salesforce CRM, Salesforce automation tool. You have the Oracle tool, and there are so many others. So you could actually research into this and pick up one of the CRM tools and set it up and get your business on the way to effective sales forecasting. Now, you should also make sure that you pick a method. Pick a method and make sure that you stick to that method. And then for everything you are doing, you always need to keep your sales force informed. So even whilst they are using the CRM tool, as you start to make decisions based on the information and data that is pulled from the tool, you need to carry them along and keep them informed, and also make them accountable for their own success. Salespeople, and I'll tell you because, I mean, I am a salesperson, we are highly motivated by our performance. And so once we understand and are able to keep seeing and viewing the impact of the work we do, we are geared to do more. So please make sure that as you utilize whatever sales forecasting method, you carry your sales team along and they understand and appreciate why they are being made to use that particular sales forecast method and the impact that it has on your business. Thank you. Till the next podcast.